I guess I was moving in an hour ahead to take the offering at 11 when we do stand, right? Or maybe I just thought you wouldn't give enough. Grace of God, we've made it through the summer with all the pandemic scare. We've had a lot of folks that listen at home that have still sent in giving, and we praise the Lord for that. Kept us going, and because the bills didn't go down during the summer. The electric and the water and all the rest of it cost as much or more than it did last summer. Chapter 11 in the book of Revelation. We got started on it, not very far. Very important chapter. Halfway through the book, 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. And chapter 11 midway. I've often said we might not, even as saved people, see it as the most important chapter, but God does. You're going to find out that the goal that he announced that would one day happen does, Scripture does reference it and tell us about it in Revelation chapter 11. We wonder, some folks wonder what's going on in the world today with the pandemic and everything. Truthfully, what we're doing is we're seeing the devil's agenda against the cause of Christ. It's a tool he has used beyond all expectation of what I could imagine could have happened. And probably not a week goes by I don't hear from somebody, some way or another, that's critical of the stand that we have taken. But if we had took a different stand, things would have been a lot worse. I guarantee you that. Have you noticed all the little self-appointed policemen to watch and see if you got a mask on? And a bunch of junk. It's hard not to get in the flesh with some of that. There was a guy looking at me real hard when I went in Lowe's this week because I didn't have on a mask. And I was looking real hard back at him. I'm so glad he didn't say nothing. Because I just don't know if I could handle it at the time. I was already tired of waiting in line. Oh, we got to watch it. We got to watch it. Real easy to get into the flesh. But I'll say it in the sermon this morning. I do appreciate our governor again. Now, he has lifted restrictions on the state. Now we'll see who's making a choice. Don't tell me anymore now the governor ordered it. No, he didn't. He's opened it up now. Very clear about it in his announcement yesterday. So your excuse, if that's what you've been using it for, is gone. It's gone now. And he's told the restaurants they can open up. So wherever you were getting your favorite hot dog at, you can go back. Amen? All right, what's that got to do with the book of Revelation? It's coming. All the book said is coming, amen? Coming fast. In chapter 11, we move halfway. And we learn a bunch of things right off the bat in chapter 11. We learn that there is going to be a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem on planet Earth, physical, visible. And we'll learn that even the Old Testament offerings will be offered again. This means that the Jewish nation, though it's in rejection of Christ at this point still, we understand they're going to come back into some power for a while. Even as today, we're seeing them gain a little political power over what they were just a few years ago. Under the President Trump, they've had America recognize the embassy, and so other nations have begun to do the same thing. This is big. Somebody says, is this peace treaty? Is it the thing the Antichrist is going to bring in? It'll finally be fulfilled to that, and it'll involve the temple. It does not yet involve the temple, but it will. So that ought to encourage you and I that know something about the outline of the end time, the way things are going to fall into place. It ought to encourage us to see we're getting closer and closer to the fulfilling events, even of the book of Revelation. So in Revelation chapter 11, midway here, and we find out a physical temple, not a heavenly one. It's going to be located on earth. And it reveals to us several things. It tells us about two witnesses that's going to show up. It tells us that the Gentiles are going to be able to tread down this temple after it's built. Tells us how long, for 42 months or 1260 days. The book of Revelation several times identifies this period of time, 42 months, 3.5 years, or even speaks of it as a time, times, that'd be two, so that'd be 3.5. So three different ways it expresses the period of time here in the book of Revelation that is going to take place. And we'll find out before we get through chapter 11 that his ultimate goal for his son is going to be realized. That's described in the Bible many times. For instance, in the second Psalm, it talks about how he's going to set his son on Zion's hill, how the heathen's going to rage about it. But the Lord ultimately has that goal for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we start off here again in verse 1 of chapter 11, we'll kind of talk about it as we go through. It says, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod," and we're talking about a measuring stick here, "and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein." Now we also read about the temple being measured in Ezekiel 42. It is here on earth. I'm not going to go back to Ezekiel now on it. And it says, verse 2, "But the court, which is without the temple, leave out." Now, this is not the temple that was destroyed in AD 70 by the Roman Emperor Titus. That temple had two courts. This one has one. It says, "But the court," one. "The court, which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, just not the temple, but the holy city, is going to happen. Now, it's going to happen under the Antichrist, who will be bringing his kingdom in from the Gentile side, of course. And it says in verse 3, "I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1260 days, that's 1260, clothed in sackcloth." Now, in this period of time, while their Gentile kingdom under the Antichrist is treading down the temple and ruling over Jerusalem, two witnesses are going to be in the streets of Jerusalem. Boy, I tell you what, years ago people could read about these two witnesses. They're called two olive trees in verse 4, and candlesticks, referring back to Zechariah, book of Zechariah. But anyway, these witnesses are going to show up, and the Bible teaches us here the whole world's going to see them. Now, if you'd have been reading this 100 years ago, or even less than that, you could say, how can the whole world look and see two men in the streets of Jerusalem? Well, we know that now, don't we? Satellite TVs all over the world. It can happen anywhere, and you can watch it on the evening news, so to speak. So it will be everywhere, and the whole world will be aware of it, just like today. One of the things that surprised me so much with the pandemic is how it went worldwide. And do you know there's nations that didn't even hardly have any cases at all, but they shut down too? And in America, there's counties that didn't have any. Even states that had very few. But look how worldwide it went. That's because of the communication technology that we have today. The old saying that a lie will go around the world before the truth can get backed out of the garage. Did you ever hear that? Boy, we're seeing that, aren't we? Spreads everywhere. And then it's so hard to correct it, to get the truth back. I've told you the story of the old wise man, Tibet or somewhere, you know, the wise man sitting on a hill or whatever. A village, and a young man in the village criticized the old wise man on the hill, criticized him to everybody. And then the young man got convicted of what he'd done, and so he climbed up there to the old wise man's spot, and he said to him, Sir, I sinned against you. I lied about you. I criticized you. I told everybody about you. But I now know I was wrong, and I want you to forgive me. Will you forgive me? And the old man said, I'll forgive you under one condition. He said, what's that? He said, well, go back through the village and gather up all the feathers you can find blowing around the streets, all the chicken feathers. Get me a bag of feathers and bring them up here. And the young man said, well, I could do that. So he did. He went and gathered up a big bag of feathers and brought them back up to the old wise man on the hill. Said, now, here they are. Will you forgive me? He said, just one more thing. Get up here on the mountain and spread them out and dump them and let the wind catch them. And the young man did that and said, okay, I did it. He said, all right, one more thing. Now go gather them up again. He said, well, that's impossible. He said, that's what you did when you slandered me. You scattered it everywhere. You can't gather it up again. I can forgive you, but it won't be undone. We sometimes modernize that and say you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, right? You can't unring the bell. The truth is, that's what we have happening in the false news media going around the world today. And it takes a long time, if ever, to get the truth back out. And that's the age that we live in. Here, these two witnesses are going to be seen worldwide. And guess what? People aren't going to like their preaching. They're not going to like what they're saying. We've moved to that day and time now, hadn't we? I got a note this week because somebody was criticizing some of our kids out on the street passing out tracts and inviting folks to church. And I'm hearing such stupid statements. You're just wanting to murder everybody. Now that is crazy. First place, all of them is wearing the mask, and you wear one if you feel comfortable with it, but it don't help you a bit. If you got something, it'll help the person that's closer to you from you giving it to them, maybe. It'll keep it all going back on you. Right? All right. You know, it's a couple of heads nod. Yes. You're the one getting the dose of carbon dioxide sucked back into your lungs because you're breathing it in your mask. You only get medical with me. I went to a doctor one time. And, all right, I'm playing with you now a little bit, but there's some real stupid thinking going on. Really stupid. I got to get off of that. I'm full of it. I can't stand this stuff. It's just so contrary to the truth till it makes me want to spit, I reckon. Anyway, not with a mask on. Anyway, let's get back to the text here. Two witnesses are going to show up in the streets of Jerusalem. They're going to be seen worldwide. God's going to give them power. That's what he says in verse 3. They'll prophesy 1,260 days. That's the 1260 of the 42 months. He said, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. They've been mentioned before, like I say, the book of Zechariah. Verse 5, and if any man will hurt them, this is interesting. How about watching this on TV? If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouths and devoureth their enemies. Apparently they don't have on masks, right? And devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Well, I suspect folks keep their distance there, don't you? Anyway, God's going to give them that power for a period of time. Somebody said, you can't die till God is ready for you to. Even though we call it an accident sometime, I guess I've said this, your death won't surprise God. But we act like we think it would. And the enemies are going to be killed by this. Now, we would not only see the men preaching in the street, but see people dying that try to attack them. Boy, that ought to get some ratings. Amen. Verse 6, these have power. This is going to get some attention. Have power to shut heaven, that if it rain not, in the days of their prophecy and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues, might be corona in there, smite the earth with all plagues as others as they will. Now, this is quite a powerful verse. It's really full of a lot of stuff that can stop it from raining. Now, that helps us identify the two witnesses. You see, the power that they had has been used on earth before. It was used in the day of Elijah when he shut the heavens. King Ahab, remember, wouldn't let it rain. By the way, the same amount of time, 3.5 years. So when God does that, when you read, for instance, the story of Joseph in the Bible, you're reading the story of Jesus. Bible is that way. Not only is what it teaches you in words, but what it teaches you in type and in picture. And here we go, looking at these two witnesses and the power they have. They'd shut heaven that it will not rain during the whole time that they're doing their preaching. And then they have the power to turn water to blood. Anybody remember what happened to the Egyptians when the Jews were getting out under Moses? The water was turned to blood. All plagues. So you have a good identification. I do believe the two witnesses that come back will be Elijah and Moses. They came back in Matthew 17 on the Mount of Transfiguration. And I believe that will not. There's the argument made, well, two of them, you know, one of them's Enoch because he walked with God, was not, God took him, so he didn't die, so he's got to come back to die. That's not much of an argument to me. The truth is, there'll be a lot of folks in heaven that never died physically. I hope I'm one of them. Don't you? All it takes is a trumpet to sound, and I'd skip death. And skip these fellows from the funeral home messing with my tie, amen? We joke about it, but the truth is, that's our blessed hope. That's what Paul said, it was our blessed hope. And so the rapture, so that argument that somebody's got to always die, where do you say Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed unto all men to die? Yes, yes, but you understand in the rapture, they won't all men die. So that don't hold enough water. These signs here and the power they have, I believe, fits Elijah and Moses. Personally, they showed up with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. What did they talk about? They talked really about this day coming. His transfiguration, his time of taking over the kingdom, his time of victory. And that's what they were talking about. So these two witnesses have a power. Boy, it's going to make the news when the water turns to blood. And the earth is smitten with the plagues. And then it says in verse 7, when they shall have finished their testimony. Not in the middle of it, but they're going to finish it. Now, God has got a designated time for them. He's listed it here 3 times in the Bible. We know it to be 3.5 years, 42 months. And so when they finished, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit, we read about him already, chapter 9. Shall make war, that tells us who the beast is, by the way. He'll be the spirit that came out of the bottomless pit's gonna incarnate the Antichrist. And it tells us here, he'll make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. But he can't do it until God says they finished. I like that part. Until they're finished. Paul said he'd finished his course, fought a good fight. I believe if you're in the will of God and God's got something he wants you to do and you're doing it, I believe he's going to let you finish your course, finish your testimony. That's what he does here with the two witnesses. When they're finished, then here's the other shocker that we'll watch on the news if you're lost and left here. Their dead bodies shall be in the street of the great city. Now, here's a twist of scripture that gives a lot of folks trouble. The great city, which spiritually, and that's your key word now, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. All right, we know it's not Cairo because the Lord was not crucified there. So the word Egypt here is symbolic. Egypt is the type of the world in the Bible. And So we find out this city that it's talking about is Jerusalem. But you say, hey, that's the holy city. Well, that's what we call it. Truth is, it's not all that holy. Some of us been over there. Do you know that prostitution is pretty much legal in Jerusalem today? Do you know there's a whole lot of bad sin going on? Do you know that still in the Orthodox Jewish religion, that even missionaries are greatly persecuted? Christian missionaries are greatly persecuted in Jerusalem today. All of that. God says, if you look at it spiritually, I'm comparing it to Sodom. That's a bad place. Homosexuality, by the way, is at least as much, if not more, legalized over there than it is in America right now. So God says it favors more the world, Egypt. It favors Sodom, with its sin. So he is telling what it really looks like with the veneer ripped off of it. And while we sang about it, Holy Jerusalem and so forth, it is still the place where the Lord was crucified, so it's still Jerusalem that he's talking about here in this in this verse. But he's saying spiritually it favors Sodom and Egypt. Well, we're in that day when it does favor Sodom and Egypt more than probably ever before in its history. So these bodies are going to be in the streets of Jerusalem. They're going to be on the TV for folks to watch at night. And they must have heard their preaching to some degree. And I base that call on this. They leave the bodies laying there. Maybe they preached, kill us and we'll rise again. That's what Jesus preached, right? After 3 days, in this case, 3 days and a half, and dead bodies in the street. Now, you know, there's another little play on words there. In the Jewish culture of that day and even today in Orthodox places, some of the Jews today will have funerals without embalming. Now, over here in America, we, you know, embalm and preserve the body from decaying for a while and so forth. But the Jews believed, because people did sometime, excuse the cough, it's been with me since 4 years old, and they hadn't invented COVID back then. So it's just a sinus thing. But anyway, we embalm over here, and that preserves the body for a while. But in the old days, then they did that in Egypt all the way back when the Jews was there. But the Jews didn't practice embalming much. Joseph got embalmed on the way out of Egypt, but he was in the hierarchy of the Egyptian government. You remember that. But most of the Jews didn't. And because quite often somebody could get buried that they said was dead, and they wasn't dead. They were in a coma and they came back to life. That did happen. Did you ever hear of a statement say, well, he's a dead ringer? Did you ever hear that one? Now, we generally think that means somebody is favoring somebody else. He's a dead ringer. Well, that came from people being buried that was not really dead. So since that happened a few times, when later on, accidentally, they hear somebody trying to tear out of the grave, or somebody dug it up for some reason and found out where they'd clawed the top of the casket to pieces trying to get out because they'd come back to life. So in many places, they started to practice. That practice was to put a cord and a little bell inside, or a little cord inside the casket and a little bell outside. And if the man came back to life, he could pull the cord and ring the bell and get some help to get dug up. That's where the word dead ringer actually started and came from. See somebody on the street and say, I went to his funeral the other day. Well, he's a dead ringer. He looks just like the one we buried the other day. Well, maybe he is. Maybe he rung the bell and got out. You follow me on that? That was where the word came, got developed from anyway. Now these, for some reason, they leave them for 3.5 days. The Jews taught that if a man was 4 days dead, he was really dead. That's why the Lord Jesus delayed his time of coming back in John 11 to the funeral of Lazarus. You see, the sister said, he's been dead 4 days, he stinketh. Well, that was the Jewish culture. He didn't know. When the Lord called him, he came forth. But it might have been the reason the Lord delayed the extra day. It seemed like he was kind of slow getting back to Lazarus' grave, remember? And sister said, well, if you'd been here, he'd live. No, he waited until the Jews knew for sure he was declared dead before he came back and said, Lazarus, come forth. So these fellows are going to lay on the streets 3.5 days. By Jewish culture and code, superstition, they're dead. But then something happens. Can you imagine the liberal news commentator saying they said they'd rise in 3.5 days? We were looking at them. We were watching. I've been out and preached in Mississippi, around the border there, Tennessee, Mississippi. And the church I preach at, friend, a long time back, good sized church, across the street, and maybe a quarter mile, half mile at the most, not even that far, I don't think, down the road is Graceland. You know what Graceland is? That's Elvis Presley's place. His ranch, his farm, Graceland. By the way, we got one right over here. Have you noticed on 30th Street called Grace Ranch? It ain't named after Elvis. I think it's Grace Avenue there. But anyway, I go out here and preach at Brother Westmoreland's out in Mississippi, and got in the car with him. He said, now look at that place on the left as we was leaving the church. He said, that's Graceland. I said, what are all those people doing around the gate? He said, they're still waiting for Elvis to come back. And he says, probably this is around his birthday or the date he died or whatever it is, but you'll see them on those days. They'll gather around because they don't want to believe Elvis is dead. Now, that's kind of strange to us, isn't it? Shows you how the human being can worship something very unreal. Elvis was, by his own testimony, he was a sinner and had accepted Christ as his Savior. I hope that was true with him. He gave that testimony. But anyway, if he's saved, he'll rise again. But he's not coming back on his birthday just for that crowd at the gate. I'll guarantee you that. But here, people that's here on earth's going to look on TV. They're still there 3 days, 3 days and an hour, 3 days and 4 hours. They still haven't got up. Look out. When the 3.5 day mark hits, they're going to rise. And boy, what news is that going to be? What fear is that going to bring? And that's what it says right here. Now look at it. Verse 9. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days. And shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. I can't go on because of time, but you're going to find out they begin to rejoice over them being dead. And somebody thinks it might be Christmas time because they start sending gifts to each other. I don't know. But I do know this. The Lord's word's going to fulfill just like it says. What a witness to the world that's going to be. Amen. All right, I believe my time's up.